I'm so glad that Brent mentioned that I don't normally speak in English. That's also not my first language. So that helps me. Thank you. I've been privileged the past few months, one can almost mention, to study a bit of the life of Jacob. And the theme for tonight is Jacob's ladder. And when I read the book, the story of Jacob, there were so many nuggets in there. I thought one can do a whole preaching series about it, but unfortunately I've got only 9 minutes today. So I'll just take here and there some points. So who was Jacob? He was the youngest of two twins. They were the sons of Isaac. Their grandfather was Abraham. And one of the first things we learn about Jacob, as he was very serious to get the firstborn right, because he was the youngest. And he was even willing to trade with food for his brother to get this firstborn right. And then after that, we learn that his mother hears that his brother's going to get the blessing from his father. So he and his mother cooperate, deceive his dad, and he get this blessing. But, of course, his brother is very upset about this. And he says, soon as my dad dies, I'm killing Jacob. And his mother comes to hear about it, goes there to his father, say, let's send Jacob away to go get himself a wife in Haran. It's about 800 kilometers away. That is where her family come from. Go, let him go there and get himself a wife there. So off he goes. And here we find him, this rich man boy, all by himself. He was used to staying at the tents with his mom, without his family, without his parents, just him alone. On this long journey where he's never been, he don't know how many years he will be away before his brother cool down and he's allowed to come back home. Can you just imagine that sadness in his heart? And he lies down to sleep. And here he has this wonderful dream that we read of in Genesis chapter 28. And he dreams that there's a ladder from heaven to earth. And on this ladder, there's the angels going up and down, ascending and descending on this ladder. And on the top of this ladder, God is standing and he's talking to him. And just listen to what God is saying. We read that in verse 28. He said, I'm the Lord, the God of Abraham, your father, and the God of Isaac. The land on which you lie, I'll give to you and your offspring. Your offspring shall be like the dust of the earth, and you shall spread abroad to the west and to the earth and to the north, and in your offspring the whole earth will be blessed. And then he also says, behold, I'm with you, and I'll keep you wherever you go, and I'll bring you back to this land, for I'll not leave you until I've done what I've promised you. What an amazing promise for such a lonely young man. And then Jacob woke out of his sleep, and one of the first things we read there is he was afraid. A fear of God came over him. And he says, God was in this place. I was not aware of it. And he calls that place Bethel. And then he also continues to make a vow. And we read of that in verse 28-20. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and clothing to wear, so that I'll come again to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And then he also said, I'll set the stone up for a pillar shall be God's house. And of all that you give me, I'll give you a tenth. I'll give you a tithe. And then 20 years later, we meet of another meeting with encounter with God, where he wrestled with God. Making the story very short, he wrestled with God and he said, leave me. And he said, I won't until you bless me. He said, what's your name? My name is Jacob, which means deceiver. He said, you'll no longer be Jacob. You'll become called Israel, because Israel means wrestling with God and man and overcoming. And then a little while later, he was a problem with the Shechemites and his boys went out and he killed the whole city. And now, here is Jacob fearing for his and his family's lives. what's going to happen? But God called him back to Bethel. And he's reminded again, God gives the same promise again of his descendants. The whole earth will be blessed through his descendants. Let's continue now to John chapter 1, verse 47. That is the part where Jesus meet Nathanael. Now, Philip actually brought Nathanael to Jesus. And when Jesus saw Nathanael, he said, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit." And then Nathanael said, "But how do you know me?" I said, and Jesus answered, "I saw you already before Philip called you under the fig tree." And then he says, Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." And he says, you said that to me because I say that I saw you under the fig tree, but you'll see bigger things than this. And he said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you'll see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." So who was this ladder? It was Jesus. And he was that connection between God and man. And we see how he fulfills that when he dies for us on the cross. He brings that connection between God and man. And it's not, he gave his life, he paid our debt. The veil torn in the temple, which bring that opening between the holies, the holy and the most holy place, which mean we can directly now connect to God. We can be God's children. We no longer have to pass through a high priest. Jesus is our high priest. And we read about that high priest in Hebrews 4, verse 14 to 16. "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to feel sympathy for our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may have received mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." So wonderful that that ladder is Christ. And when Nathanael met Jesus, he said, "You are the Son of God." There was even at the cross when Jesus died, there was a centurion. And when he saw what happened, centurion was not a Christian. He was not a Jew. He was a foreigner. But when Jesus died, he said, "Truly, this man was the Son of God." And we can see in so many ways God revealing himself as the Son of God. And for a long time in my life, I knew it. Yeah. And I knew that God loved me. But when God was in his grace and mercy, revealed himself to me, that he loves me. Me, crooked, full of mistakes. But God loves me. That he wants me to be his daughter. That he wants me to be his child. He wants me to be a vessel that he can use. That others can come to God. It changed my life. And maybe here somebody is sitting here today that know it here, that God is God. He's the Son of God. He died for us on the cross. We know the story. But do we know it here? And it's just my challenge tonight. If maybe it's still here up in your head, let today be the day that God reveal himself to you, that he loves you. It's not just words. He did it in actions by giving his life for us. So that is just a little bit of what I wanted to share with you today. Thank you so much for the opportunity.